self. I didn't get a chance to change. I was worried about zombies in the morning, and then things got congested in the afternoon.
We could skip dinner and go straight to a shower and clean clothes. Or, even better, no clothes.
Tempting, but no. I'm starving.
I ordered a pitcher of beer, Morelli said. Hope that's okay.
It's perfect. I need it now. Morelli whistled through his teeth, and everyone jumped in the restaurant. He raised his hand and mouthed beer to the waitress.
Gee, that's smooth, I said to Morelli. I'm a Jersey Italian, and my girl needs a drink.
Both of these things were true. The waitress brought our pitcher. We ordered off the menu, and I chugged my first glass. Okay, I feel better, I said. I'm starting to relax.
Your day was that bad?
Not bad. Hectic, especially at the end. Lula got hit in the head by a drone, and I had to take her to the ER because she kept saying fudgesicle. While she was there, I picked up a new FTA. Then I went back and got Lula.
Is Lula okay?
Yes, mostly she just needed a bucket of chicken.
Where did the drone come from?
Lula had an idea to use a drone to look for Slick. It was actually a pretty good idea. The drone was amazing, until Lula tried to catch it, and it hit her in the head. It belonged to a friend of hers, Stump. Morelli relaxed back in his chair.
Eugene Stump, the scourge of Trenton.
I thought you were the scourge of Trenton.
That was back in the day. Stump has a drone army. He uses the drones to move drugs and to help him move people.
He said there's a new street drug called Zombuzz, and it turns users into zombies. Morelli nodded.
The labs are still working, breaking it down, but we know the basics. It's a complicated synthetic mix that produces physical and psychological symptoms. Joints become stiff, making walking awkward. Chemical changes take place behind the eyes, and there's some bleeding involved. Users have no fear, feel no pain, have increased strength.
What about the brain-eating thing?
We haven't apprehended a user yet, but from the physical evidence we've been able to retrieve, we think they aren't eating the brains. We think they're using them to manufacture the drug. We found three underground caves that contain crude labs.
So the dirty clothes and dirt-clogged hair, the red eyes, the classic zombie shuffle all get explained by this drug and the way it's being manufactured?
In theory. We're still learning.
Stump said it's being distributed by one man. He said the guy was from out of town and weird.
It might have been the way it started, but I think it's moved beyond that now. Everything we've found points to multiple players producing product with widely varying degrees of purity.
I'm surprised you haven't been able to round up some of these users.
I can't arrest someone because his eyes are red and he shuffles. We have to wait for one of them to be caught committing a crime, or for one of them to overdose and end up dead or in the ER.
What about DNA found on some of the victims? Were you able to identify any persons of interest?
Yes. We've interviewed two, and they made no sense. We have them under surveillance, and we're looking for a third.
I hated to ask the next question, but I couldn't help myself. Were you able to identify anyone on the cemetery video?
It's disappeared. I had a tech working on it Friday. When he came in today, the camera was gone, and his computer had been wiped clean.
I went numb for a couple beats. Diesel. How could that happen? I asked. It's a police station.
That doesn't mean it's secure,
Morelli said.
A lot of people have access.
The waitress brought corn chips and queso, and I dug into the chips, hoping to hide the fact that my heart was skipping around in my chest. Who the heck was I harboring in my apartment? Some guy who was able to break into a police station and wipe out a computer. Okay, calm down, I told myself. Maybe it wasn't Diesel. Like Morelli said, lots of people had access.
On another note,
Morelli said,
I saw the court docket for tomorrow, and Diggory was on it.
I'd love to see him skate and get sent home. I don't want to be the long-term godmother to a 50-pound snake.
Evidence against him has been flimsy in the past. I'm not sure what they've got on him this time. And if he went to a jury trial, I doubt there's anyone in Trenton who would convict him. He's like a folk legend.
It was a little after 9 when I parked in Rangeman's underground garage and took the elevator to Ranger's apartment. I stood in the dimly lit hallway for a moment and let the cool air wash over me. I took a few calming breaths, listened to the silence, and felt my heart rate drop to a zen level. His apartment had a sense of order that mine lacked. It was a good match with the man. They were both locked down in a way that gave the appearance of inner peace. I knew inner peace was an illusion for Ranger, but I also knew he believed if you practiced something long enough, it became yours. I went to the kitchen and said hello to Rex. He was on his wheel, running, running, running. He paused, twitched his nose at me, and continued to run. I took my duffel bag into the bedroom and set it on a leather bench in Ranger's large walk-in closet. I had enough clothes for a couple days, just the essentials. I knew from previous visits that Ranger was generous with his possessions. I could use his toiletries, raid his closet, eat his food, and drink his wine. And his housekeeper, Ella, was genius at providing forgotten essentials. His bathroom was very masculine spa. Carrara marble countertops, pristine white tile on the floor and in the shower, smoky gray paint on the walls, endless steaming hot water, Bulgari green shower gel that gave me a rush strong enough to buckle my knees when I soaked up because it smelled like Ranger. I toweled dry and borrowed a black Rangeman t-shirt to use as a sleep shirt. I climbed into Ranger's bed and took a moment to enjoy the luxury. His sheets were soft and smooth, ironed by Ella. His pillow was perfect and lump-free. His comforter was just right. If Ranger had been in the bed next to me, I wouldn't have noticed any of these things. When you're in bed with Ranger, there's only Ranger. Chapter 25. I woke up at 7. It was dark in Ranger's bedroom, but light was streaming into the rest of his apartment. I padded barefoot into the kitchen and pressed the button on the coffee maker. Rex was burrowed deep in his soup can, sleeping off a hard night on the wheel. When Ranger is in residence, Ella brings his breakfast at 6 a.m. House-smoked salmon from Tasmania, whole-grain toast, fresh fruit, yogurt. Sometimes he'll go nutty and put strawberry jam on his toast. Ella knows that I sleep later and usually prefer to forage for my own breakfast. This morning I chose granola with fresh blueberries and strawberries. I was at the kitchen counter brewing a second cup of coffee when I heard the apartment door open. A beat later, I heard keys get placed in the silver tray Ella kept on the hall table. Ranger was home. He walked into the kitchen and kissed me.
"Babe,
I thought you weren't supposed to come home until later in the week."
"The job wrapped up early and I was able to get a plane out this morning."
Ranger was dressed in black rangeman fatigues. He was wearing a sidearm and a sheathed knife, all standard for men on duty. He almost always flew private, eliminating the hassle of airport security. "Would you like me to call Ella for breakfast?" I asked him.
"I ate on the plane."
The corners of his mouth tipped into a smile.
"I like the way you look in my shirt."
I tugged at the hem. "It's a little short."
"I'd like it shorter."
My turn to smile. "It's nice of you to let me stay here. Rex and I appreciate it."
"Fill me in on the situation."
"You know about the zombies?"
"Yes."
"One or more seems to be stalking me," I said. "I thought it was a good idea to put myself in a safe place, and I didn't want to endanger anyone else, like the people in my building or my family."
"Tell me about the stalking."
I showed him the photos I'd taken of my door and Morelli's door. "I think it might be slick," I said. "There was discarded supermarket packaging left on Morelli's sidewalk along with a plastic fork. The label said calf brains, and it had been doused with Tabasco. I know Slick is a Tabasco fan."
"I've been briefed on the drug the police believe is producing the zombie-like creatures. The chemistry of the drug alters brain function, probably permanently, and it's highly addictive. A component of human brain is needed to produce the drug, so addicted users might be sent out to harvest brain. But from what I've read, there's no indication that a user would want to actually eat brain."
"So?"
"So, it's unlikely that your stalker would be a brain eater. I think it feels staged."
"No zombie?"
"Doubtful,"
Ranger said. "Then who?" Ranger's attention went back to the t-shirt.
"I've missed you," he said. "You owe me some time."
"Oh, boy." The smile returned.
"Don't panic. It's just a game. You're the one who decides when we play."
That did me no good at all. Ranger was totally desirable. Being in a semi-committed relationship wasn't enough for me not to want Ranger. I would have to be dead. And even Dad might not do it.
Why isn't Diesel protecting you? Ranger asked. He's still in town.
I never see him. He's looking for someone. And that was the way I liked it. My biggest fear was that Diesel would drag Slick into my apartment by the scruff of his neck, and I'd have to pay up on our deal and strip down.
Diesel works for a little-known international organization that attempts to control exceptional people who go rogue, Ranger said. Chances are good that he's looking for someone associated with the zombie drug, maybe the chemist or biologist who developed it.
What happens if Diesel goes rogue?
That would be a problem.
Ranger took a bottle of water from the fridge.
I have to go downstairs. What are your plans for the day?
Simon Diggory is going before the judge today. I want to be there.
Take a fleet car. I'll have Tank park it next to mine. He'll leave the key on the dash.
Is this double or nothing again?
This one's on the house.
Thanks. I'll try not to destroy it. I took a shower, got dressed, and headed out. Tank had positioned a shiny black Honda CRV next to Ranger's Porsche 911 Turbo. It was pretty and new, and just looking at it had my stomach in a knot. With me at the wheel, the poor thing was doomed to have an ugly end. It was only a matter of days, maybe a matter of minutes. I carefully eased the car out of the garage and drove to the office. Lula was at Connie's desk shopping QVC on Connie's computer.
Connie went to the courthouse to bond out Leroy, Lula said. After he gets sprung, me and Leroy are going to meet for lunch.
Diggory is in court today, too. I called on my way here, and they said he's up for 11 o'clock. I thought I'd go over and see if he needs a ride home.
You think he's going to get off?
I'm hoping. I don't know why they keep arresting him. They can never make any of the charges stick.
Yeah, but it slows him down, Lula said. He stays clear of the cemetery for a while after he's been harassed.
Diggory saw me when he was led into the courtroom. It wasn't hard for him to spot me. There were only a few people scattered around. Judge Judy wasn't presiding, Bernie Madoff wasn't on trial, and no zombies were in attendance. The sad sack before Diggory got 30 days for destruction of personal property while under the influence. He looked like he was under the influence a lot. The sad sack left, head down, and Diggory was called. Diggory approached the bench, pleaded not guilty to the charges, and the judge looked like he wanted to hit himself in the head with his gavel. Probably this wasn't his first rodeo with Diggory. Diggory went on to explain how he was doing volunteer gardening at the cemetery as part of a civic beautification campaign. And while he was digging so he could plant some geraniums, he came upon a ring. The judge gave up a sigh and told Diggory to speed things up.
So, anyways, Diggory said, I put the ring in my pocket and forgot about it, what with the geranium planting and all. It didn't occur to me that it belonged to the lady resting in the grave. If it had been buried with her, how in holy heck did it get out of her slumber chamber?
Diggory leaned forward a little. That's what they call the casket now, he told the judge. Slumber chamber. The judge did a small grimace.
Go on. I was leaving after my planting, and one of our fine men in uniform, one of our wonderful first responders, mistook me for a miscreant, and that's how I came to be arrested.
According to the arrest report, you were doing your gardening at 2 in the morning.
That's right, Your Honor. That's when I do all my gardening. I got a touch of the skin cancer, so I garden at night.
The judge gave his head a small shake and looked at his watch. It was lunchtime. He looked at the prosecutor and the court-appointed public defender.
Anybody? Anything? The judge asked.
Nobody had anything.
I'm fining you $50 for trespass after cemetery hours, the judge said. Do your gardening during the day and use sunscreen.
Diggory paid his fine, collected his belongings, and followed me across the street to the CRV.
Nice of you to give me a ride, he said. Uber never wants to go down my street.
There are some things you need to know, I said, pulling into traffic.
I hope it's not bad news about Ethel.
I haven't been to your double wide today, but as far as I know, Ethel is fine.
Then how bad can it be?
You know how we left the door open so Ethel could follow the hot dog trail?
Yep.
Well, a lot of raccoons got inside instead of Ethel.
Again? Dang it. They keep doing that. Did they eat my peanut butter?
They ate everything. And then when they left, about 100 cats went in. Diggory nodded.
We got a mean pack of ferals in that neighborhood. Anything else?
One of the zombies smashed your window, but Ethel scared it off and the police patched it up.
Damn zombies.
Turns out they aren't really zombies.
I heard about it while I was in jail. You hear about everything in jail. They're drug zombies, and the only way they can get more of the drug is to pay for it with some human brain.
That's sick.
Doesn't seem to me like a good business plan. Why would you do it if you're not making any money on it?
Diggory Street was blocked by a police cruiser, but we were waved through. There were more cruisers parked along the road, and Diggory's yard was being used as a staging area. Morelli's SUV was there, as well as a police transport van. Diggory went straight to his double-wide to check on Ethel, and I went looking for Morelli. I found him behind the van talking to a uniform. "How's it going?" I asked him.
"So far we've rounded up 3 zombies."
"Are they in the van?"
"No. We've already transported them to the lockup at St. Francis for evaluation. When they're released from there, a bunch of 3-letter agencies will take over."
I brought Diggory home. He got fined for trespass, and he was told to do his gardening during the day from now on. I looked around. "Will you be here much longer?"
"The rest of the day. There's a lot of ground to cover. We have dogs in the woods and an eye in the sky."
I looked up at the helicopter hovering overhead. "This is a big deal," I said.
"Yeah, decapitation is unpopular. People don't like it. Using human brains to make mind-destroying drugs doesn't sit well either."
"Remember the deli container that was left on your sidewalk? Do you think that was a setup?"
"Yes. These druggies don't care about eating brains."
"Diggory says he heard in jail that the only way you can buy more of the drug is to pay with human brain."
"We've heard that, too. The first vial is free. After that, you pay with brain."
"What's the point?"
"My guess is that someone thinks this is fun."
It was a chilling thought. It took insanity to a whole new level. Diggory joined us.
"I want to thank you for taking such good care of Ethel," he said to me. "I know she can be a handful sometimes, but she's mostly a sweet old girl."
"I think your freezer supply of rats got eaten," I said.
"That's okay," Diggory said. "Plenty more where they came from."
I left Morelli and Diggory and drove to my parents' house to see how Grandma was doing with the new dog. Grandma and Henry greeted me at the door. "I came to check on Henry," I said.
"He's a joy," Grandma said. "He's got perfect manners."
"He's got no manners," my mother yelled from the kitchen. "He barks at everything, and he pooped on the floor."
"He was nervous," Grandma said. "He only did that once."
Henry was wagging his tail and looking up at me with big brown eyes. I bent down to pet him, and he vibrated with happiness. "He's a nice dog," I said to Grandma.
"We should take him for a walk," Grandma said. "I keep his leash right here on the sideboard, so it's always handy."
She hooked Henry up, and we walked him down the street.
"He's good on the leash," Grandma said. "He trots right along, and when he poops, it's little poops."
I love Bob, but Bob doesn't poop little poops. We walked for several blocks and turned onto Judy Chuchi Street. Judy was on her front steps, waving her arms and screaming. Johnny Chuchi was in the front yard, smashing the gnomes with a hammer.
"You're killing them," Judy was screaming. "You're gonna burn in hell."
"They're lumps of plaster," Johnny yelled back at her. "They aren't even interesting lumps. You suck at this. You need a new hobby. Try knitting, try quilting, try cleaning your house. It's a pig pen."
"I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," Judy shrieked.
"You're a fruitcake," Johnny said. "You're nuts. These stupid things aren't real."
Smash! Another gnome turned into plaster dust. He went after the gnome with a blind eye, and even I had to cringe. It seemed excessive to attack Mr. Murphy. Smash! Mr. Murphy was sent to gnome heaven. Judy disappeared into her house and returned with a chef's knife.
"An eye for an eye,"
she said, charging after Johnny.
"He runs pretty good, considering that big bandage on his foot," Grandma said.
They ran past us, and I tackled Judy and took the knife away from her.
Take Judy inside and make her a cup of tea or something, I said to Grandma. I'm going to drive Johnny to the police station.
I don't know if I want to go in that house with all them gnomes, Grandma said. They kind of creep me out.
They're house gnomes, Judy said. They're very polite.
Grandma and Henry went inside with Judy, and I called Lula to pick me up. The bonds office was only minutes away. I thought you went to Hawaii on a pre-re-wedding honeymoon, I said to Johnny.
I had plane tickets and hotel reservations, and we weren't on the plane more than 15 minutes before it started about the gnomes, Mr. Murphy and little Susie and Grumpy, all the way to L.A., and then she wouldn't get on the connecting flight. She called her neighbor 45 times. How were the gnomes? Was Mr. Murphy depressed? Who the hell is Mr. Murphy anyway?
You smashed him.
Good. Now he's not depressed anymore.
Lula's Firebird pulled up to the curb.
Jail is gonna be a relief after this, Johnny said. I can't wait to get locked up with some nice, sane murderers and rapists. How's your foot? Lula asked him. It's freaking killing me. I got some drugs in my purse, Lula said. Hand 'em over, Johnny said. Mine are all on their way to Hawaii.
Chapter 26. Court was still in session when I turned Johnny over to the police, but he chose not to get bonded out again. He said he was exhausted, and he just wanted to sit in his cell and be happy he wasn't married. He said after he served his time and got released back into society, he was going to Hawaii, and maybe he'd stay there.
I totally get Johnny's point of view,
Lula said, driving out of the municipal building lot.
Sometimes when you're wackadoodle, you gotta find a place where you fit in with other wackadoodles. Not that I'm saying Hawaii is full of wackadoodles. I mean, I've never been there, but it seems like it's calling to Johnny Chuchi.
The only thing I heard calling was lunch. I'd had a candy bar from the vending machine in the courthouse, and nothing since. How did it work out with Leroy? I asked. Did he make bond?
Yep, and we went to get something to eat after. Went to the deli on Lyon Street, and they have excellent coleslaw. You get a good dish of coleslaw, and it goes a long way at providing happiness for the rest of the day.
Words to live by. What about Leroy? I asked.
He's confused, Lula said. He doesn't know if his wife is coming back or not. I guess his kids got over him being naked on the cake, but the wife, not so much. Sounds to me like they might have had problems before the cake incident. He's an okay guy, but I don't see a romantic future with him.
Because of the wife confusion?
No. From what I can tell, every married man has wife confusion.
Leroy is a tapper.
Tap, tap, tap on everything. On the deli table, on the dashboard, on his chin. Only time he wasn't tapping was when you had him cuffed or when he got food in his hand. Only thing worse than a tapper is a jiggler or a hummer. You find a man does any of those things and you run, don't walk away, because if you get locked in a room with him, eventually you're going to have to kill him.
Lula stopped for a light, and I searched through my messenger bag, hoping to find a breakfast bar, finding only a cough drop. I unwrapped the cough drop and popped it into my mouth. Diggory got off with a fine this morning, trespass at the wrong time of day.
Connie told me. She said she heard from the court cop that Diggory was on his game. Besides, everyone wanted to get out to the food truck. The Cuban sandwich guy was there today.
I didn't know there was a food truck.
They let him park in the cop lot. Where were you parked?
Public parking across the street.
You're such an amateur, Lula said. You give the guy at the gate a BJ once in a while, and he lets you park in the cop lot.
Not only did I not want to give the guy a BJ, but I had no confidence my BJ would be good enough for entrance into the lot. Anyway, I said, I took Diggory home, and his neighborhood is filled with police rounding up zombies.
I heard that, too. Connie's sister-in-law works on the lockup floor at the hospital. She said the whole place stinks like carnations. Something about the chemistry of the drug that makes carnation stink ooze out of your skin. I have my own theory.
I was afraid to ask.
I'm thinking that brains smell like carnations,
Lula said.
Probably some people know that, like undertakers and doctors who do autopsies, but they don't tell nobody. That's why funeral homes always smell like carnations.
They smell like carnations because people send flower arrangements with carnations in them.
That's what they like you to believe, Lula said. But downstairs they got dead people on slabs with their brains leaking out.
I turned the air conditioning up and powered the window down. I needed air. The cough drop wasn't sitting great in my stomach. Probably what I needed was bread, with meatloaf between it. I need to go to my parents' house, I said. My car is there, and I want to make sure Grandma got home okay. And there would be bread and meatloaf. And if no meatloaf, there'd at least be bologna. Lula cut down a couple side streets and crossed the train tracks. 10 minutes later, she turned into the burg and pulled to the curb behind my Honda SUV.
Is this CRV a new Ranger car? She asked.
Yes, it's a loaner.
It's a shame it's going to get destroyed by your bad car, Juju. It's freaky how the only car you can't kill is the Buick.
Freaky and depressing. The Buick drove like a refrigerator on wheels. I waved goodbye to Lula and let myself into the house. I heard little dog feet running toward me, and Henry skittered around the corner and into the small foyer. He spun in circles and jumped against my legs. Grandma followed.
We got a welcoming committee now, Grandma said. Henry loves company.
He tinkles on people, my mother shouted from the kitchen. Don't let him near Stephanie.
He gets excited, Grandma said. It's only a little tinkle. He's mostly empty.
I picked Henry up and carried him into the kitchen. How did it go with Judy Chuchi? I asked Grandma.
Pretty good, except her house is a mess. Gnomes everywhere. You can't hardly walk. Henry tinkled on a bunch of them, but she didn't notice, and I didn't say anything. I didn't think it mattered, what with the state of things.
Is she going to be okay?
Well, she can fry up an egg and make coffee. Beyond that, it's hard to tell. I told her she should take up Bingo. It'll get her out of the house. She said Mr. Murphy would have loved Bingo, even though he could see out of only one eye.
I put Henry down and went to the fridge. Do we have any meatloaf?
Sit, and I'll make you a sandwich, my mother said. You look pale. Are you eating? You aren't living on candy bars, are you?
I try to get ones with nuts in them, I said, taking a place at the kitchen table. Keeps my protein level up. I couldn't see my mother's face, but I knew she was rolling her eyes and asking for help from whoever was working the help desk in heaven. She gave me a meatloaf sandwich with chips and pickles. I broke off a small piece of meatloaf and fed it to Henry.
We aren't feeding him at the table, my mother said.
Of course we are, Grandma said. Look how little he is. Look how cute. And he was an orphan. Poor thing.
My mom pulled a chair out, sat down, and Henry jumped into her lap. Her shoulders slumped a little, and she scratched him behind his ear. She was doomed. She was a sucker for kids and helpless little creatures. I finished my food and called Morelli. I'm at my mom's, I said. Do you need me to walk Bob?
No, I left Bob with my sister-in-law. I suspected I'd be late.
How's it going with the zombie roundup?
We've gone through almost the entire area and cleaned out the underground dens. We'll stay here until dark and then pack it in. We haven't found any more zombies. Impossible to get a grip on the numbers. I'm sure the users are scattered.
Why the underground dens? Why not abandoned buildings?
Dunno. Maybe we just haven't found the abandoned buildings. We have 3 users, but so far they're only talking gibberish.
I don't suppose one of them was slick.
Sorry, no.
Do you have any more thoughts on the Tabasco zombie?
Yeah. I shouldn't be telling you this, but I think you need to know. They lifted Slick's fingerprints off the deli container.
It took a beat for me to catch my breath. Do you still think it was a setup?
Yes, but I don't know why. It doesn't fit the user profile.
Thanks for telling me.
Be careful,
he said. I stood and stuffed my phone into my jeans pocket. I had an idea about the setup and Slick. He was making a video. It had started as a documentary, but now maybe he was fabricating. Maybe it had turned too ordinary when it became just another drug story. Maybe he had to sensationalize it. Problem was, I didn't know how far he would go to get good film, and I didn't know if he was using the drug. Bottom line was that I had to find Slick. Gotta go, I told my mom and Grandma. I'm still looking for Zero Slick.
If you find him, I wouldn't mind meeting him, Grandma said. He's a real celebrity. He's the zombie blogger.
I felt my eyebrows lift halfway into my forehead. How long has he been the zombie blogger?
Not too long. I started following him over the weekend. He's got some good videos on YouTube, too. He's making a real name for himself.
I'd like to see some of his videos, I said.
I got my computer on the dining room table, Grandma said. All you have to do is look for Zero Slick.
I sat down, typed in his name, and there he was. The videos were all short. The cemetery during the day, just scenery. The cemetery at night, badly lit, as if he was holding his cell phone camera with one hand and a flashlight with the other. There were zombies in the night videos, dirty, dull-faced creatures. Their gait was halting and stiff-legged. One of them fell into a pit that I assumed was an open grave. The camera cut away to another zombie sticking a needle into his arm. More dark footage from inside one of the dirt caves. What appeared to be part of a head on a small table. Some surgical instruments also on the table. Sickening to look at given the atrocities of the past week. No sound with the video beyond some scraping and heavy breathing.
He's good at making horror movies, Grandma said. He has a real flair.
I didn't tell Grandma this was probably real. Better only one of us has nightmares. The last two videos were my door with the words brains and die scratched into it and Morelli's vandalized door. Two blurred figures could be seen very briefly staring at Morelli's door. Morelli and me. I doubt anyone else would recognize us. The video had been shot from a distance, and the quality was poor.
That's it for the movies, Grandma said.
According to his blog, he'll be putting a new movie up tonight. I took some time to read through his blog. It was a diary of his nighttime wanderings and adventures with the zombies. Hard to tell what was real and what was fiction. He wrote about working with the supreme ruler of the zombies, and he promised that something shocking was about to be videoed. I thought the videos I just watched were already too shocking. I wasn't a horror movie kind of person. I was more romantic comedy. Indiana Jones was as violent as I could go. I called Morelli back. Have you seen Zero Slick's videos on YouTube? I asked him.
There are videos?
Yes, and he has a blog. You want to check it out. He mentions the supreme ruler of the zombies. Apparently they're hanging out together. And there's a fuzzy picture of us in front of your house looking at your door.
How did you discover this?
Grandma?
I should have guessed,
Morelli said. I ended the call with Morelli, said goodbye to my mom, and walked to the door. Grandma went with me.
Let me know if you need help with the zombies, Grandma said. I'm good with dead people.
Chapter 27 I drove out of the burg and cruised past the bonds office. It was closed for the night. Traffic was heavy on Hamilton Avenue and going through the center of the city. Rush hour. Everyone going home. Except me. I was going to Range Man. I drove into the garage, stepped into the elevator, and exited into Ranger's apartment. It was nice, but it wasn't home. I went to the kitchen and said hello to Rex and poured myself a glass of wine. Ranger kept wine in his apartment, but he almost never drank it. He didn't mix alcohol and guns, and he almost always carried a gun. It was 5 o'clock. Ranger usually worked until 6 or 6:30. Ella brought dinner at 7 o'clock. I had time to kill. I took the wine into Ranger's office, settled into a leather club chair, and brought Slick's blog up on my computer. I read through it for the second time, and again the thing that stood out was his claim to be working with the supreme ruler of the zombies. It smacked of a cheesy movie or a graphic novel. It was comic book stuff, hard to take seriously. And yet, hard to ignore. Someone had drifted into Trenton and set up shop to produce zombies. That someone was an elusive entity. A freak who gave his drug away in exchange for human brains. And apparently he accepted brains that were mummified, embalmed, or fresh from the kill. It was a little after 6 o'clock when I heard Ranger roll in. There was the clink of keys in the silver tray and soft footsteps in the hall. He smiled when he saw me in the chair with my computer.
"It's nice to find you here when I come home," he said. "I'd forgotten what it was like."
"Are you telling me you're lonely?"
"No, Just that I enjoy this once in a while. I nodded.
Me too. I have something to show you. Zero Slick has a zombie blog, and he's uploaded some videos on YouTube.
I've seen them. He needs better equipment.
Do you think he's serious about working with the supreme ruler of the zombies?
It's possible. He was in one of the caves. Someone took him there.
Supreme ruler?
It's a little Hollywood.
Do you think there's a supreme ruler?
I think there's someone who brought the drug to Trenton, is controlling the distribution, and is enjoying the experience.
Are you involved in this?
You're involved, so I'm involved.
Do you think we should go proactive?
There are a lot of people working proactively. Morelli and his team are making good progress, considering the drug has only been here for 2 weeks, tops.
Have you been in contact with Diesel?
Not directly. We see him moving around.
Do you think he could be the supreme ruler?
No, he doesn't have that kind of ambition. He does his job because he's one of only a few people who have the skill. He didn't choose his job. His job chose him.
Geez, that's heavy. Ranger shrugged.
He's a specialist. He has a decent amount of downtime, and he's well compensated.
You know a lot about him.
I was curious. I did some research.
A text message dinged on my phone. It's showtime. You know where to find me. Midnight. Come alone or not at all. ZS. I showed the message to Ranger.
Text him back and tell him midnight isn't going to work for you. Tell him you'll meet him at 10 o'clock.
Why 10 o'clock?
I have an early meeting tomorrow. I don't want to be wandering around a cemetery until 2 in the morning.
You think he's at the cemetery?
I assumed he was referring to the gravesite where he was camped out. That was where you met him when his video career began.
How do you know about that meeting?
I have a transmitter in your messenger bag and another attached to whatever car you're driving. And we monitor the police band.
Yep, that would do it. I texted Ranger's message to Slick and got a response back that 10 o'clock would be okay. Ella delivered dinner at 7 o'clock. Grilled snapper, asparagus, soft polenta, fresh fruit for dessert. Delicious, but not up to clock-in-a-bucket standards. No rancid grease, no sugar-fortified apple pie, no bacon, full-fat cheese, or deep-fried onion rings. I finished my fruit and stared down at my empty plate.
Babe, Ranger said, you look like you'd kill for a cookie.
That had me smiling. A cookie would be good, but I wasn't thinking about a cookie. I was thinking about Zero Slick. I have a sick feeling that he wants me to play a role in the shocking new video he promised his viewers. Ranger's phone buzzed, and I saw a picture come up on the screen. I thought Ranger's initial reaction was annoyance, but that fast changed to amusement. He didn't smile, but the corners of his mouth tipped up a little. I'd produced the same reaction from him on many occasions.
Send him up, Ranger said.
He turned his phone so I could see the screen. It was Diesel. He was relaxed, thumbs hooked into his jeans pockets, smiling up at the elevator camera.
We have company, Ranger said.
Was he invited?
No, but he's not unexpected.
Ranger opened the door to Diesel, and we all went into Ranger's office. Long time no see, I said to Diesel.
Yeah, I haven't had much social time on this trip.
He slouched into a club chair, I sat in the second club chair, and Ranger sat at his desk. Ranger was chairman of the board. If it came to a power struggle between the two men, I couldn't predict a winner.
I assume we're looking for the same man, Ranger said.
Diesel nodded.
I should have wrapped this up by now, but there are qualities to this person that make him hard to track. And now I have an additional problem. The police are shutting down his playground, and if he stops having fun, he'll pack up and move on. If that happens, I'll have to start over.
Is this his first playground? Ranger asked.
No, he was in Berlin for a short time, and then he moved to Atlanta. This time I have a better shot at catching him because he's chosen to hang out with Zero Slick. And Zero Slick isn't smart.
Who are we looking for? Ranger asked.
His name is Daryl Meadham. He's brilliant, but childlike. He's a savant, and he's a sociopath. He's Canadian-born. He has an American passport. He speaks 5 languages.
Do you have a photo? I asked. Diesel pulled a photo up on his phone.
Daryl Meadham had an impish grin, pale skin with freckles, and red to blonde hair cut short. He was a nice-looking kid, maybe 14. And I was pretty sure he was the boy I saw on Diggory's Road. "How old is he?" I asked.
32.
"He looks like he's 14.
That's part of the problem. People tend not to notice kids, and Daryl looks like apple pie. He's soft-spoken, he appears shy, he exists in shadows, he's always pleasant. He also has heightened senses and instincts like a cat. He isn't capable of feeling remorse unless it's for losing a video game. His emotional age would be somewhere between 9 and 12. His passion is neuroscience. He's held research positions at various universities since he was 18 years old. For the last 7 years, he's been working for the government. I'm told his knowledge and insight make him irreplaceably valuable. He has handlers who make sure he doesn't starve or walk in front of a train or kill someone as a scientific experiment. Daryl slipped away from his guardian and disappeared from a conference in Munich 4 months ago. When a new street drug surfaced that was based on brain cells, I was called in to find Daryl. "And you think Daryl is the supreme ruler of the zombies," I said. Diesel grinned. "Yeah. He loves zombies, vampires, superheroes, werewolves. His dossier says he wears Power Rangers underwear."
"Why does he need an underground cave to make his drug?" I asked.
"He doesn't," Diesel said. "He's playing. You need to think like a 9-year-old boy. His drug makes zombies. Burrowing underground and playing hide-and-seek in a cemetery is part of his zombie play."
"How does he survive?" I asked. "Where does he live? How does he get food? All that costs money. Where does he get money?"
"He steals, he cons, he hacks into systems, he improvises," Diesel said. "And right now, he has zero slick to help him."
"Two mental 12-year-olds with delusions of fame," Ranger said, "engaged in role-playing."
"Exactly," Diesel said.
"Daryl's role is supreme ruler of the zombies. It's not clear if he knows he's pretending or if he thinks he really is the supreme ruler. Slick is easier. He's convinced he's making an award-winning video. His blog promised a new shocking video tonight, and he just asked me to meet him at the cemetery at 10 o'clock. I'm worried he has video plans for me."
"I've seen those videos," Diesel said. "They need help. Smart of him to realize he needs to spice things up with a pretty girl."
Being part of Slick's video was sort of a depressing turn of events. On the other hand, Diesel thought I was pretty. "He wants me to come alone," I said. "How could he possibly believe I'd do that? He wants me to meet him at night in a cemetery that's rampant with zombies."
"He's a YouTube sensation," Diesel said. "In his mind, any woman would jump at the chance to be part of his video. And either he looks at you as a stupid, inferior female, or else you represent power and you would be stupidly fearless. Either way, you would think nothing of meeting him in a cemetery late at night."
Jeez Louise, now I was really depressed.
"This is good," Diesel said. "We know where to find Slick. And if we find him, there's hope that we can find Daryl. There's even a decent possibility that Daryl might be on hand for the video."
I was trying not to think too much about the video. I suspected it involved my brain.
"I can put a few key men in the cemetery, and I can put a drone in the sky," Ranger said to Diesel. "I'm afraid if we involve the police, there will be too much presence."
"What about Stephanie?" Diesel asked.
Ranger looked at me.
"Stephanie speaks for herself."
Oh, great. It was going to be my decision to risk my brain for the cause. The way I saw it, I was going to look like an idiot if I was in, and I was going to look like a jerk if I wasn't.
"Babe," Ranger said.
I blew out a sigh. "I'm in. What's my role?" Diesel grinned.
"You have a choice. You can be the stupid inferior female or the stupid powerful female."
"How about if I'm just myself?" Diesel glanced at Ranger.
"I'm not going to touch that one."
Ranger shook his head.
"I'll pass."
"Funny," I said. "Very funny."
"I'll put a wire on her," Ranger said to Diesel. "Come down to the control room with me and I'll get you equipped to communicate with the rest of the team."
From the little I knew about Diesel, I thought he probably didn't need the equipment. Diesel wasn't normal. It wouldn't surprise me if he read minds and could stick a light bulb in his mouth and light up a room. Chapter 28 Ranger returned to his apartment a little before 9. He was holding a wire and a roll of surgical tape.
"Time to get dressed," he said, setting the wire and the tape on a kitchen counter.
The device itself was small, about the size of a dime, state-of-the-art. I'd been wired before, so I knew what to expect, and because Ranger was placing the wire, I knew what to expect there, too. I was wearing jeans and a stretchy V-neck T-shirt. "I can do this," I said. "Just give me the wire. I know where it goes." Ranger put his hands on my waist and drew me closer.
"That wouldn't be as much fun."
I narrowed my eyes at him. "There will be no fun. I'm in a relationship."
"Don't worry. I'm a professional. I've done this before."
His hands were under my shirt, skimming over my rib cage, lifting my shirt. "Wait," I said. Too late. The shirt was over my head. A heartbeat later, he'd unclasped my bra, and his hands were on me. They were warm and familiar at the small of my back. He brushed a light kiss across my lips, and I got a rush all the way to my toes. I was doomed. "Oh, crap," I said. I could feel Ranger smile.
"Babe,"
he said in a whisper. My clothes were scattered around the kitchen, and Ranger was trying to tape the wire to me. "It's not sticking," I said.
"It's because you're sweaty."
"It's your sweat," I said. "I don't sweat. Ladies don't sweat."
"Babe, you're no lady."
I knew that was a compliment and a comment on the last 20 minutes. Truth is, if Slick and the supreme ruler of the zombies suck out my brain tonight, at least I'll have had this one last cosmic orgasm. I took a fast shower and got dressed in clean clothes. We got the wire on me in seconds, and we were out the door. I was driving my Rangeman CRV, and Ranger was beside me. Tank was following in another Rangeman SUV.
"My men are in place," Ranger said, "and Diesel is out there somewhere. If you get into trouble, we can reach you in seconds. The goal is to capture Daryl. Hopefully he'll show up. If he doesn't show, you're going to be on your own to make it happen. Remember, the code word for us to move in is Red Sky."
"Right, got it. Red Sky." I stopped 2 blocks from the cemetery parking lot, and Ranger got out and moved to Tank's SUV. I continued on, trying to ignore the churning in my stomach. I was 5 minutes early when I parked. I had a stun gun in one sweatshirt pocket and a small canister of pepper spray in the other. My cell phone was in my jeans pocket. When I killed the lights, I was enveloped in darkness. I left my messenger bag on the back seat and got out of the car. I stuffed the keys into another pocket of my jeans. I stood for a moment, waiting for my eyes to adjust to the darkness. I saw lights turn into the driveway that led to the lot, not an SUV. They were too low to the ground. The car swung into the lot and parked next to me. It was Lula.
"Hey, girlfriend," Lula said, getting out of the Firebird, locking up. "I see you got an invitation, too. Good thing I just got my nails done, except I don't know if they're going to show up in the dark." The text message was short. It didn't say if there was going to be light set up. Most of Slick's videos only have atmospheric lighting, like from a flashlight.
Lulu was wearing a short, skin-tight, low-cut dress that was entirely bedazzled. Even in the dark, the dress was blinding. Her 5-inch stilettos matched the dress, and she had silver glitter on her eyelids.
"This could be my moment," Lula said, tugging her dress down over her ass.
"Do you really think he wants to make a video?"
"Well, yeah, what else would he want? He's got a questionable sexual identity, so I don't think this is going to be a romantic liaison. I got an idea for putting music to the video. Something sexy with a good, strong beat. Like club music, you see what I'm saying?"
I was a little worried that he might want my brain.
"He didn't say nothing about that in my text message, and that better not be the case because my brain's staying in my head right where it belongs."
I knew Ranger and Tank were listening in on this conversation. It took a lot to make Ranger laugh out loud, but I figured this had him doubled over. Lula hauled a mag light out of her purse and flashed it on. So much for the stealth approach.
"Let's do this,"
Lula said, setting off for the gate that led to the footpath.
"Showtime."
"I thought you didn't like cemeteries."
"Yeah, but I'm willing to make an exception for my chance to be a video star. It's not every day something like this comes along." This was true. We walked along the footpath and spotted Zero Slick sitting on a tombstone exactly where I'd expected to find him. He seemed to be alone. He wasn't quite as scruffy and zombie-like as the last time I saw him. Probably because Morelli had shut down the dirt dens.
"Here we are," Lula said. "What's the plan? Do you have a script? Are there any other people coming? I thought by now you might have a crew."
"I like to do my own camera work," Slick said. "That way I have total control."
"For a while there, when you disappeared, we thought you might have turned into a zombie," Lula said.
"I was thinking about it, but then I decided that wasn't my destiny. I was meant to make videos and to blog."
"Good for you," Lula said, "and I suppose you remember that I had some extensive experience in front of the camera."
"Sure," Slick said, "but mostly I need you for diversity. That's a key word these days, diversity. If I want to get recognized as a great filmmaker, I need to have some diversified zombies. Right now, I only have white zombies."
"Huh," Lula said, hands on her hips. "Are you telling me I've been invited because I'm going to be your token diversification goddess?"
"Yes."
"Okay, then, now that we got that straightened out, I'm still getting the producer credit, right?"
"Right."
"So, it sounds to me like you want us to be zombies," I said to Slick.
"Totally, and apologies because ordinarily we would have done this filming in one of our zombie transformation dens, but we're currently relocating."
"Who is we?" I asked.
"I bet I know," Lula said. "I bet it's the supreme ruler of the zombies. I've been reading your blog, so I know you guys have been hanging together."
Lula swept her flashlight beam around the gravesite.
"Where is he? Is he here?"
"He's in the area, but he never allows anyone to see him. Only zombies and, of course, me."
"Well, I want to see him," Lula said. "I got all dressed up for this gig."
"You can see him after you become a zombie," Slick said.
"I guess that's okay," Lula said. "I don't mind putting some makeup on, but I don't want to smudge up my dress. I'm not going to be that kind of zombie. I'm glam zombie."
"Are we going to be filming here?" I asked Slick.
"Not exactly. There's a new grave site toward the back of the cemetery. Someone's getting interred tomorrow, and the fresh dug grave will be awesome for the video."
"I heard they rounded up a bunch of zombies," Lula said. "Do you still got enough to film?"
"Trust me, there's no shortage of zombies. We're always recruiting new ones."
Slick led the way along the path, and I pulled Lula aside.
"You know there really aren't zombies, right? Slick and the ruler are distributing a drug that gives people the characteristics of a zombie."
"Yeah, but they look like zombies. They just aren't totally dead yet. I mean, I've seen some of them, and they're real close to being dead. And they gotta focus on getting brains, just like a zombie."
I couldn't argue with any of this. We followed Slick to the far edge of the cemetery. Lula's heels clicked on the paved footpath. Her maglite flicked side to side.
"Tell you the truth," she said to me, "I'm getting a little freaked. I'm thinking there might be ghosts here besides zombies. I'm pretty sure I can feel them slithering against my skin. I got the creepy crawlies."
I had the creepy crawlies too, but mine were coming from Zero Slick. Slick stopped at a spot that had a tarp stretched over a mound of earth and another over an open grave. He pulled the tarp away from the grave.
"Here's the scene," Slick said. "You jump in, and we film you down there looking like you're climbing out. You have to look like you're coming out of the zombie portal."
There was no way in hell I was going into the grave, and I know it was my civic duty to help catch Daryl, the sociopathic drug lord, but I wasn't feeling it. I was thinking this was a bad idea, and I would rather be back in Ranger's apartment, or Morelli's house, or even my own apartment. I was thinking some moronic television show and a glass of wine would be good.
"I got on my special bedazzled Via Spigas," Lula said. "These aren't no grave jumping shoes. How about if I just run around and wave my arms in the air and look batshit scared?"
"I guess that would be okay," Slick said. "I could get some footage of that."
"Hold on," I said. "We aren't doing anything until the Supreme Ruler shows up."
"Why not?"
Slick asked. "Because that's the way it is," I said. "It's not like we're a couple extras in some second-rate video. We expect to work with top people."
"And what about your fans?" Lula said. "They deserve to see the big guy, Mr. Supreme."
"Don't worry about my fans," Slick said. "I promised them a shocking video, and I'm going to deliver. I have it all planned out."
"I think you're full of baloney," I said to him. "I think you made it up about the Supreme Ruler. I think you're making a fake documentary."
I'm making the documentary of the century, Slick said. You should be begging me to let you jump in the hole.
You got delusions, Lula said. You're a deluded person.
You said the Supreme Ruler is in the area. Exactly where is he? I asked Slick. Is he at Mickey's eating cheese fries? Is he wandering around reading tombstones?
He's with the army, Slick said. He'll come with the army when I give the signal.
What army is that? Lula asked.
The zombie army, Slick said.
I bet you got a zombie navy, too, Lula said, and a zombie air force.
Not yet, Slick said. Just the army. They've been gathering while we've been talking. They're going to help with the final scene.
I looked beyond him, and I saw two red eyes glowing in the dark night. A second later, more red eyes blinked on.
What the heck? Lula said. Are you kidding me?
She panned with the maglite, and the zombies groaned and swayed side to side when the light hit them. They were armed with shovels and hatchets.
You're surrounded, Slick said, just like an apocalypse.
He had a small video camera, and he started filming the advancing zombies, and then he focused on Lula and me.
Jump into the grave, he said. If you don't jump into the grave, they'll hack you to death. You'll be safe in the grave.
The zombies were shuffling forward. When they weren't caught in the light beam, it was too dark to see anything other than the glowing eyes. Red Sky, I said. Red Sky, get me out of here. I'm done. I don't care that the crazy guy isn't here. Red Sky, Red Sky.
What's with the Red Sky? Lula asked.
I'm wired. I'm calling Ranger in to get us out of here. I pulled the neck of my t-shirt out and looked down at the wire. It wasn't there. I slipped my hand under my bra and came up with a single strip of loose tape. No wire. Stupid tape, I said.
I don't like the sound of that, Lula said.
The tape came loose and the wire fell off.
Help!
Lula yelled. Chapter 29 Slick rushed at Lula and shoved her backward. She lost her balance and fell into the grave. It was about 7 feet deep, and she landed with a thud.
Oh, crap, Lula said. Lordy, lordy.
I pulled my stun gun out, but I was grabbed from behind before I could power up. I kicked back and tried to wrench free. A second set of hands was on me. I was yanked back and tossed into the grave. I scrambled to my feet and started to shout for help.
That's good, Slick said. Claw at the dirt like you're trying to climb out, and it would be great if you could cry.
The zombies were lined up around the grave.
Commence shoveling, Slick said. We need to bury them alive.
Excuse me? Lula said.
Slick looked down at us.
We're not going to totally bury you alive. We're going to leave your head sticking out because the Supreme Ruler wants your brains. It's another part of the diversity movement, brain diversity.
I shouted for help, and I was hit in the face with a shovel full of dirt. All the zombies were shoveling. They were moving the dirt that had been piled alongside the grave back into the grave.
I gotta get out of here, Lula said. Give me a boost up. I'm gonna take out some zombies.
I leaned against the dirt wall, and Lula climbed up me as best she could. A zombie swung a shovel at her. She grabbed the shovel and pulled the zombie into the grave with us. He was on his back, flapping his arms, grunting, unable to roll over. The other zombies shoveled dirt over him. They were shoveling like robots without direction or emotion. I ducked my head to avoid the dirt flying at me, and I shouted for help. Floodlights flashed on, and there were men in uniform everywhere. Some were rangeman guys, and some were police. Ranger dropped into the grave and brushed dirt off my head.
Are you okay?
He asked. I lost the wire. It was a stupid tape.
Sorry, it put us at a disadvantage. Fortunately, I had a drone up, and we were at least able to see what was happening on the ground. I would have moved in sooner, but I decided it was best to involve the police when I saw the number of zombies.
Slick said Daryl was here, but he wouldn't show his face until Lula and I were zombies. Turns out, the plan was to bury us alive and take our brains.
That wasn't going to happen. Diesel and I were ready to go in and snatch you out. We were just waiting for everyone to get into place.
Morelli was standing on the edge of the grave. Ranger lifted me up, and Morelli grabbed me and set me on my feet.
What about me? Lula said.
Lula was 2 inches shorter than I was, and about 75 pounds heavier. Ranger looked at her and grinned. Morelli was also grinning.
I'm game if you are, he said to Ranger.
Ranger hoisted Lula up to Morelli, and Morelli took it from there.